In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. I want to take this time before we begin with this episode to extend my sincere gratitude to all those who reach out through many means, text messaging or personally, seeing me and talking about the episodes and providing their feedback, Messenger and what have you. I thank you, but I ask one thing, that you ascribe praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father, because if it's not by the grace of God, we can do nothing. And I am encouraged and I glorify God that somehow in God's perfect and amazing, incomprehensible, unfathomable, unspeakable ways that these episodes and the contents of these episodes are touching the hearts and giving comfort to those and giving consol to those who've been searching for a while and wanting to continue to grow in the Word of God. So let's always give thanks to God. And I ask that you continue to pray for this episode. Pray for my frailty. Pray for the producers, my brother Stephen, my sister Adrina, and all those involved. And let God be always glorified through what we do. Amen. There is an Assyrian saying, during time of sorrow and grief, when we, extend our condolences or our concerns, or when the fire engine is driving past. Let me tell you, these episodes are recorded at Mara Day Parish. So you'll see this. It's a crossroad, and there's always the fire engines and the ambulances. So, don't worry about that. It's a confirmation that these programs and what we speak about are urgent. So there is an Assyrian saying during time of grief, when we're extending and expressing our condolences, or when we want to, give comfort and consol to those who are grieving, we say, "Allah marchik lochun min kul mar'a min kul pashamta." May the Lord God keep you distant from sorrow and grief. And I always say that's not realistic, but we'll talk about the connotation behind it, the message behind it. We'll talk about that afterwards. So grief and sorrow is what I'd like to talk to you about, and I'd like to present this episode on how to combat grief. Now, you may be going through this. You may be sorrowful. You may be in grief, in pain, in suffering. We're going to more concentrate on the one circumstance, one occurrence, one event that really brings about grief, and that is death. But this does not merely pertain to grief and sorrow over the loss of a loved one. We know that grief is inevitable. Sorrow and pain and suffering are inevitable. When we read Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, as an encouragement, which states, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Now, it's giving us comfort, but it's telling us, warning us, that there will be brokenheartedness and crushed spirits. There will be sorrow. Psalm 147, verse 3, "He," God, praise his name, "heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. if there was to be no brokenheartedness, no sorrow, no pain, no wounds, well, the scriptures wouldn't comfort us, because why would you want to comfort someone who does not require any comfort? So it's not a no-no for Christians that grief and sorrow and mourning, pashamta, chasha, are not a no-no for the Christians. Do not grieve. If you grieve, you lack faith. No, remember John chapter 11, verse 35, the only perfect and holy and complete man on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, wept. He cried. Let me read to you what the Blessed Theophylact comments on that. The man who never feels compassion or weeps is brutish, dry. The man who cannot, on the other hand, control his anguish and tears in is effeminate. You know, there is a sense of pride or taboo. You know, when men cry a lot and they continue crying, what do we say? You know, you're a man, all right? Stop the weeping and stop the mourning, because you're a man, right? Sharing our flesh and blood, according to Hebrews 2:14, Christ experienced our nature, human affections, but taught us their proper limits. So yes, we can weep, we can cry, we can mourn, we can feel sorrow. And having the opportunity to grieve, or having the permission, lack of a better term, to grieve, but we are to grieve not hopelessly, but rather hopefully, as St. Paul instructs in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And by doing this, we affirm that grief is a norm, is a part of life. King David also declared in Psalm chapter 55, verse 4 to 5, my heart is in anguish. This is the man that was after the Lord's heart. God called him my heart, minbar libbi. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So grief, as we read the scriptures, being obviously a product of the fall of man because of disobedience, when God created man, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create them for sorrow and mourning and pain and suffering, though he knew that man would drop the ball, as I say, and be disobedient. But it was because of that disobedience that pain, sorrow, mourning, and grief entered the world, the broken world, the fallen world. But this grief has a solution. There is a remedy, and it's called comfort. However, at times when we feel that there is no comfort, is because comfort, the eternal comfort, the true comfort, the endless comfort awaits us, beloved. We are to be patient and to trust in the Lord and His promises of comfort. Now, as I mentioned, one source of grief is caused by the enemy. Now you may think, the accuser, Satan. Yes, he is the enemy of mankind, and in particular the children of God, but there is another enemy, and that is called death. And that's why we're concentrating more on the grief and mourning and sorrow from the loss of a beloved one. But death, you see, there's a comfort there already, but death has a time limit. And that's why each time we want to comfort someone who's mourning over the loss of a blood one, we say there is resurrection. We're going to talk about that. Death has a time limit. This enemy will be abolished, beloved, as St. Paul instructs in 1 Corinthians 15, 25, 26. For he is to reign, that is Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, until he should put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy, that is death, will be abolished. But until then, sorrow and grief are normal, beloved. You see, in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the procedure and the book of the church itself, Saint Stephen, the first martyr, the deacon, the shamasha, after being stoned, we read that believing men gathered up and buried Stephen, and they lamented over him greatly. They lamented, yani beliayeva. They were mourning over him greatly. We see this grief and mourning and sorrow in the scriptures. So once again, we cannot deny the existence, the reality of grief, pain, sorrow, and suffering. However, we cannot let it delay in our daily life. So grief being inevitable, and the church accepting, acknowledging that during the time of death in particular, there is a lot of grief. The church has in place some traditions with a capital T to help overcome grief, to help ease the sorrow and the suffering. For example, those who have had a death in the family have probably gone through the viewing process, the funeral parlor here at Turlock Memorial sets apart a day, a few hours for the family to come and view the body of the deceased. Now, some will say, you know what? Oh, it's done. It's finished. It's gone. You shouldn't worry about it. No, it's not about the dead person. It's about those who are surviving, who are truly suffering. And, you know, we encourage, you know, kiss grandma goodbye, kiss mummy goodbye, or kiss daddy goodbye. Why? Because it's not because that dead person feels that kiss and will be revived with that kiss, but it emphasizes the departure. The first step of a closure. There's a first step of the ease of the grief that, you know, when you kiss someone goodbye, bye. And yes, we say it's not goodbye, it's see you later. Well, let's say it goodbye or see you later or what up, dude, whatever, right? But we have in place traditions that begin to help to ease the pain and the suffering. We have the burial. We have the third day service. And again, some will argue, that's it, the person's dead, gone, finished. Well, let me ask you a question. When a family pet dies, what do? We weep, we mourn, we cry. And then we even sometimes approach the church. And by the way, don't do this. Don't approach me. Is there a prayer you can say for my dead dog? No, there's no prayers we say over animals. You know, in the Assyrian tradition, we don't say mitlun. We don't say animals die. We say skitlun. They're finished. They're complete, done, finished. No animal heaven. Now, I'm going to rain on some parades and I'm going to probably break some hearts, but reality must be spoken. The truth must be spoken. And I tell you, I have an animal pet. Everyone knows Thor, and I call him Tora because he is the size of a Tora. And, you know, sometimes we say, you know, what happens when this one finishes and it's gone? And my wife's arguing, we're all arguing, no, we're not going to get another one. No one, no pet, no dog will replace Tora, Thor, right? Because he's special. He is God's creation. He was made for my joy and for me to take care of and not to be cruel, as the Bible says. So if I have so much love and compassion for an animal that was not created in the likeness and the image of God, how much more for my grandmother, for my father, for my loved one who is the image and likeness of God and is the child of God? We have a second day service, which we don't practice, we don't serve. We have the burial service. You know, we go to the funeral. And for those who don't want to see the backfill, I don't want to see dirt being poured over my face. These are all in place for you to start to the process of the closure and the comfort from the grief. I encourage you to stand and watch. You know why? Because if you think you have it all, you think you're untouchable and nothing can affect you, when you look at your beloved one being buried, the casket being lowered, you're in pain and you're in grief, and the backfill happens, that at that moment you should be saying, oh my God, is this my destiny? Is, you know, all this trial and all this suffering and all this, you know, working hard and the image and the Botoxes and the, and what I do, is this where I end up? And I spend tens of thousands of dollars, is this where I end up? It's good to stand there, but mainly for that closure to begin. The comfort from the suffering and the grief. One of the prayers on the second day service, do not sorrow, O children of Adam. Christ the King has lifted your head. Do not sorrow, O you chosen ones, on the day of your departure, for death is asleep, but by it, the good and the evil are rested. It is a cup mixed with righteousness for the children of Adam, that means the mortal, for which all children drink equally. It is a bridge through which all generations will pass from this world to the other, which has no dangers in the kingdom of heaven, no grief, no suffering. Look and see, for every person will taste the cup of death, and no one will escape from its dominion and authority. You know, face reality. That's why the church fathers have written these prayers and the liturgies, to begin the process of comfort, not false hope. Oh, your daddy is with God, he's with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. How do we know? You know, let me tell you something. When you tell a person that the departed is now with God and in the kingdom of heaven, by the way, when we die, no one enters the kingdom of heaven until the Lord returns. That's another episode. Where do we go when we die? We'll talk about that. So that person knows the history of the person that has passed. And you tell that person, well, your beloved is in the kingdom of heaven. Don't you think that the person you're trying to comfort falsely will then see straight through you and say, well, you don't know who this person was, so don't come here and give me false hope. No. Just come and tell me that the Lord is suffering with you. That's why he suffered on the cross, right? And the liturgy is realistic, you know, giving hope, not false hope, but at the same time beginning that process of comfort. But then you may think, well, that's cruel. Someone who's down, you're kicking them. No, no. But then for the Feast of Resurrection, we sing. And I'm going to sing it to you, because I love this hymn. It's the anthem of the chancel. Stephen, you probably know this. You've been to the English Raza for the Feast of the Resurrection. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Exult and shout, O mortals, dominion of death destroyed. Christ by his suffering has conquered death and promised life. By his resurrection, the heavens and the earth rejoice. Companies of angels call glory to him who gives life. Through his resurrection to the race of men, which was perishing, there's comfort, there's hope. That yes, death is inevitable. Through death, grief, pain, suffering, but Christ has overcome. And at times, beloved, during grief, it's understandable and it's common, maybe silly, but common, that we feel bitter at God, right? Why did God do this? Why did God take away my grandmother who was 95 from me? Because your grandmother was suffering. Your grandmother wanted to go to the Lord. You're being selfish there, right? So it's all right. It's common. Silly but common to be bitter at God. Even those who died, why did he leave me? Why did you leave me? What am I going to do, right? But that all depends on the spiritual condition, the spiritual place, the spiritual position of the person who is going through grief. So how do we combat all of this? First and foremost, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. You can do nothing without me. Seek your strength from God. God will not give you false hope. God will not be fake to you. God is genuine. God is truth. Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, is truth, is genuine, is right. Take courage from God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, he himself bore our sickness. Jesus bore our sickness and our pains that he carried. You know what? Side note, Isaiah 53, when we read it, we should replace the he with Jesus Christ because it's all about Jesus. Praise be to his name. And Jesus, taking all our sicknesses and suffering, was victorious. And we too can be victorious over our grief through Christ, through union with Christ. So before you expect people to come and console and give you comfort, seek the Lord, beloved. Because those people will be there for you a few days or a week before the burial, before the funeral, and then come back to you on the third day and maybe the 40th day. But a few months down the track, those people have their lives to go back to. But God is always there. So number one, seek your strength, seek your courage from Jesus Christ. Stand firm on the fact that God loves you. God does not allow grief. God does not allow for you to go through grief and sorrow and pain and suffering because he doesn't love you. No, he loves you. Now, the Satan, the enemy, will say, well, if he loves me, why does he do this? Why did he allow me to go through this pain? Why did he have to take away my... Yeah, that's the enemy putting those thoughts and those questions and those doubts in your mind. But when you continue to trust, you continue to take heart from God's love, then God's grace will begin to comfort you. Pray for comfort. Pray. You know, we see posts going up every day with a black ribbon on a picture. It is with a deep, sorrowful heart that we announce the departure and the death, or our, you know, son, father, relative has gone to the Lord. And then we start posting, oh, deep condolences, praying for you. Are you actually praying for that person? When you post praying for you and your family, you are all in my prayers. Are you actually on your knees and asking God to comfort that broken and that hurting heart, that pierced heart? But you know, instead of relying on people's posts, let us get on our knees and ask God to comfort me. Lord, thy will be done. Praise and glory be to your name. Help me, Lord. I'm suffering. Help me. I am shaking. My faith is shaking. You comfort me, Lord. Daniel prayed, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who ended up in the fiery furnace. Look at what they prayed. Not, oh Lord, we've been so good. We've been righteous and we've always fulfilled your will and we've done this and that. They actually blamed themselves and said, Lord, we deserve this because we are sinners. It's not you, Lord. You're not a cruel God because we are sinners. Because sin entered the world and obedience, and how disobedient is the world today to Jesus Christ? Sin has entered the world, disobedience, and today we are disobedient to you, Lord. That is the cause of my grief. But help me, give me and grant me comfort. And when you do, pray for the comfort of others. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Freely you gave, freely you receive. Freely you should give and be thankful, beloved. Yes, you know, one of my posts was, And I had a lot of people asking a lot of questions. What's wrong, Rabbi? What's wrong? I posted a long time ago, Stephen. I said, Lord, thank you for nothing. No, thanks for nothing. And people thought I'm mad. Something happened. Rabbi, what happened? I said, why? What's this? Thanks for, yeah, I don't need to thank God for anything. I don't need to thank God for something. I just thank him. Thank you, Lord. What for? Nothing. You're God. Thank you, Lord. You are my creator. Just thank you, Lord. Be grateful. Be thankful to God for the comfort that he will give you. Be thankful for all the relatives that come and give us comfort during our times of pain and suffering and hardship. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, not when you graduate with honors and you buy your fifth house and then you get your seventh promotion and you find the best girl to marry. When life's going great, your stocks are doing great. Thank you, Lord. No, in everything, in the worst of the worst of times, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Beloved, there is only one place, one person, one perfect comfort. That person is Jesus Christ. Glory be to his name. That place is the Holy Scriptures, is the prayer act, is the church. And that perfect comfort comes from an omnipotent God who can do everything. A God who is willing to give good to all those who love him and those who don't love him. A God whose love is genuine and is everlasting. Praise and glory be to his name now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.